Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart and Soul, the radio show dedicated to all things BDSM. My name is Mistress Alisa. I'm a dominatrix, BDSM counselor, and life coach. Listen, you've got questions, and I've got answers, and I'll be talking to you from my heart and soul.
Hello everyone, this is Mistress Alisa. Welcome to another edition of Heart and Soul. Today, I want to talk to you about life without your addiction. One of the things that I see happening with men who struggle with addictions of a sexual nature is that they know there's a problem and they want to stop certain behaviors. Excuse me. Sorry. I've already done a podcast today. I did another show, and so my voice is already fatigued. I need to speak a bit more softly. But I will see that men know that there's a problem. They want to stop certain behaviors, and so they try to force themselves to stop. They try to white-knuckle it. They try to go cold turkey. I'm just going to stop this behavior. It's bad. It's damaging to me. And I'm just going to cut it out. It doesn't work that way. What I would like for men to understand about their sex, porn, and masturbation addictions is that it's very much like becoming addicted is very much like taking steps down into a tunnel. Layer of that addiction is a part of a downward spiral. So when you choose to come out of that space, when you choose to come out of that spiral, you have to work your way out of it. And there are going to be times where you get frustrated and you feel like this isn't working and you're not seeing the results. And one of the traps of addictions of a sexual nature is immediate gratification. And so as you're working on climbing out of that space, pulling yourself up out of that pit, you don't have immediate gratification. You get tired, you get frustrated and fatigued, and there's negative self-talk, and this isn't working, and I can't do this, and I can't focus and concentrate. The thing that I want you to think about is, what does life look like without your addiction? In other words, a part of your arsenal, you know, a part of the tools that you will reach for, because you don't reach for the same tool every single time. You don't. Like, addiction recovery is much like building the addiction in the first place, right? You become desensitized to certain thoughts or fantasies or images. And so you need a variety. You're reaching for something different to shock your dick into waking up because it's tired, it's bored, it's seen that, done that. Well, recovery is very much the same way. There are going to be times that you reach for something that touches your heart or your soul or your finances, or maybe it's relationships. You need to think about what your life looks like without your addiction and realize that those things become a part of your arsenal, a part of the weapons, the tools that you can reach for when the going gets tough. because you're pulling yourself up out of this pit, this void, this vast darkness. And there will be times where you will feel hopeless. You know, and like, it's just not worth it, and I can't do this. This especially happens when you guys try to white-knuckle it. Remember, we don't believe in white-knuckling here. And I know that this is controversial, but my clients will still watch porn or jerk off. The difference, though, is that before they watch porn, before they act out, they process it. They learn how to sit in their feelings and emotions and sort through it. What are you going into? And I know I'm off topic a little bit right now, but I want to explain this. What are you going into that jerk-off session looking for? Are you looking for feelings of love, acceptance? Are you feeling lonely? Do you feel like this is going to cure you? Right? A lot of times you guys will condition yourselves to think that way. And then I have my client process after the fact. Right? So now you've come out of your little session. You've gotten your dick off. Balls are empty. Phew, you feel a little bit relaxed. You've got work to do. Usually what you would do as an addict is you would just go, oh, yeah, let me go and, you know, live my life. Let me go and be distracted. Nope, you've got work to do. You need to process that. Did you find what you were looking for? You felt lonely. You felt sad. You felt abandoned. You felt frustrated. I know that physically you feel like your load is a little bit lighter, but mentally and emotionally, maybe even spiritually, did you find what you were looking for? And that, my friends, is how you go through the process of weaning yourself off of your addiction and off of your addictive behavior. Behavior is plural for some of you. But back to today's topic, how does life look without addiction? I want you to think about, first of all, take inventory and look at what addiction has done to you. Inventory your life and your space, right? What are your relationships like? What is your work life like? Are you focused? Are you productive? Are you getting those promotions? Are you shining at work? Or are you calling off and staying home on Monday because you started jerking off on Friday and you engaged with your addiction Saturday and Sunday and you didn't get enough sleep on Sunday, so then you had to call in on Monday. Your sleep schedule is off, so you go to work on Tuesday and you were 15 minutes late, and then you're falling asleep on your desk or whatever. What does your work life look like? Your relationships. Are you able to connect with people? Do people see you? Do you see them? Or do you feel like you're always wearing a mask, pretending, you know, smiling and acting like a gentleman when in your heart of hearts you are anything but that? Think about your finances. What do you spend your money on, you know, in service to your dick? How much money are you spending on cam girls, prostitutes, sex workers, escorts, chat lines? So assess your life. Think about every aspect of your life that your sex porn and or masturbation addiction has. Do the work here, assess the situation, and think about what life looks like without your addiction. Here are some of the things that I hear from my clients that they totally don't expect. Mistress, I have more confidence. they didn't realize that their confidence had been taking a hit. They didn't realize that they had cocooned themselves inside of a shell because they were ashamed and embarrassed and afraid that they would say or do something that would allow people to see into that dark void that they had been sucked into, or rather that they had been willingly stepping into. And so once you start coming, how do I put this? It's like these secrets, this little secret place, is full of darkness. That the secret fantasies, the thoughts, the things that you jerk off to, those things that you bring into yourself and you hold on to as if your life depended on it, there's darkness surrounding those things. Now listen, here's the interesting thing. Consider the source. I oftentimes say that. I am open-minded, kink-friendly. I'm into kink and fetishes and all kinds of things. But there's no darkness surrounding it. Why is that? Because you are as sick as your secrets, right? And that sickness has darkness and all kinds of stuff and baggage that goes along with it. So people are like, well, how can you help someone out? Can you help someone out when you yourself are involved in the kink-friendly lifestyle? Well, bitch, it's because kink is not bad. That's why. Kink is not the bad thing. The bad thing is the secrecy. The bad thing is that little secret, quiet fantasy world that you isolate yourself into, or I don't know the right preposition. You isolate yourself in this space with your little secrets and your fantasies. That becomes unhealthy. Why? The act itself is not necessarily unhealthy, but what happens is when you go into a relationship with someone, they don't know that you're using them. They don't know that you're not really into them. They don't know that you're just using them for a hole. You're just using them to be your cum bucket. You're just using them so that you get the tactile experience with them. Fantasy, your brain, is somewhere else. That's where the unhealthy thing is. If you're into anal play and your partner's into that, then have fun with it. How is that, you know, dirty or dark or whatever? I mean, if it's not for you, it's not for you. You know, if you're into, like, sucking on dicks or, you know, being spanked and those types of things, if you find a partner who's into that, and if you're not using the sexual experience, you're not using sexual pleasure to use the other person or just to get off, then it can be a beautiful time of bonding and being connected. So how does life look with what I'm trying to get across to you is you don't have to live your life like a fucking monk. I mean, if you want to, okay, just don't do the things that, you know, excuse me, pardon. Don't do the things that religious leaders do when they don't have control over their sexual selves, you know, and then they end up acting out and victimizing the helpless. Don't do that shit. But if you want to live your life sex-free, you know, and acting like sex is dirty, good luck with that. I don't know if people who do that successfully, but good luck if that's your thing. But do you see, I'm going from one extreme to the other. It's amazing to me how many people are in the process of working through sexual addictions, and they are trying to act like sex is dirty, sex is bad, kinks are dirty. No, they're not. No, they're not. Now, just a little side note, there are some kinks I don't believe that people should be involved in. some of this shit is nasty as hell, and it can destroy your soul. So this is where you have to separate sexual pleasure from your truth. You know, question yourself about something when you are not horny. When you're not horny, look at that thing and judge whether or not it's for you. You know, is eating your cum for you when you're not horny? If you only like it when you're horny, it's not for you. Are you interested in being feminized when you're not horny? Then maybe you're gay or bi or trans. Maybe you need to look into that. But when you're not horny, anyway, I digress. How does life look without your addiction? Well, it looks like this. You have more confidence. You do better at work. You're able to focus. You stop growing a predatory nature, because men who are addicts grow a predatory nature just by default. I kid you not. Don't believe me? It looks like this. You go from looking at women and thinking, oh, wow, she's attractive. You know, I'd like to get her number. I'd like to talk to her. You go from that to, she's hot. I want to fuck her. Of course, there are 6 or 7 steps in between that, but you don't see her as a person. You see her as a sexual object. And then, if you are a man with means and with money and authority, excuse me, to add to the predatory nature of all of this, you might do something like call her into your office for prayer, or you hire her and call yourself her mentor, right? I could go on and on and on. And so what you guys end up doing is being predators, and you're predatory in nature. Whether you end up on the 6 o'clock news or not is beside the point. But to go through life looking at women and or men and or individuals who are not of legal age, going around looking at people and breaking them up into body parts and fantasizing about them, that is predatory, it's problematic, and every man who is a porn addict is growing that predatory nature. I need to write this down. Because, you know, this is one of those things that sometimes I'm just talking and ideas come to me and I'm like, oh, I need to talk about the subject. How does life look without addiction? The load that you carry is lighter. You start to like yourself. You start to be more confident. You start to be able to show up in life and show up in your relationships in a way that makes you proud of who you are and of what you've done. You start to feel accomplished because you actually get things done. You grow your relationships. The people around you start to respond to you differently. Instead of you being in a marriage or a relationship with a woman where you're acting like, oh, you know, she's my roommate, you find your lover. Financially, my clients do much better financially because instead of, you know, showing up, the thing that addiction does to you guys is you show up in life and you have trained and conditioned yourselves to pay for it. You pay for it. And now some of you are paying for it, like with a sex worker or whatever, but pay attention to this. Get into this truth. Even in your relationships are more expensive. Why? I'll tell you why. It's because of things like financial domination. It's because women are being conditioned to respond to you, and you're treating women like they're in some sort of a porn flick. Even a 22-year-old will come to me saying that he's into financial domination. Sweetheart, where do you work? You can't afford to live, much less afford to be someone's sugar daddy. You don't even know what the fuck a sugar daddy is. You don't know what financial domination is about. So you guys are doing this stuff. You're you know, swiping your credit card or entering your credit card information, but you're also paying for things in your relationships because women are not expecting love and romance and kindness and consideration from you anymore. What is she looking for? Excuse me. She is looking for a name brand purse, name brand shoes. She's looking for daddy to pay her rent, right? She's looking for rent and living expenses. You guys are paying for this because you are letting your dicks lead you into relationships with women who are superficial and who are gold diggers and who don't give a shit about you. Life without your addiction can be holistic and beautiful and fulfilling. You as an individual can have more confidence, more peace, walk around with a sound mind instead of being fragmented and torn and haunted. Did you know that it is possible to live your life without being haunted by sexual thoughts and images? The reason you're haunted is because you're running. That's why you're haunted. And then the process that most people teach is the process of running, right? Outrun your addiction. You can't fucking outrun it. You cannot outrun your addiction. And I need to write this down. Cannot outrun your addiction. What you need to do is stop running. Face that fucking motherfucker because it's a beast. It's a demon. It's your worst nightmare come true. But the only reason that it has power over you is because it understands you better than you understand yourself. So you've got to stop running. You turn and you face that fucking storm. And you figure out what your addiction knows about you that you don't know about yourself. What does it know? It knows what you're afraid of. That's why your addiction has power over you. It knows what you are afraid of. So you stop running and you stand there and the storm catches up with you. And it washes over you and it knocks you down. And you go, wait a minute, that was the first wave. I think I've got enough energy to stand up. I think that I've got enough. Yeah, I can stand up. I can take this. And what are you doing as that storm passes over you? You're understanding, this is where I'm fragile. This is where I'm weak. This is what I'm afraid of. You start assessing. You start learning. You start looking in the mirror. The best thing that I do with my clients is help them to face their fears because therein lies your addiction. Therein lies the power of your addiction. So you can't afford to talk to me. You can't afford to go to a therapist. Face your fears. What are you afraid of? Life without addiction looks like you're free. You're not running anymore. unless you want to, you know, and unless you're exercising or unless, you know, you just feel like having the wind blow through your hair or something, you know what I mean? But you're not running for your life from the thing that scares you shitless. Life without your addiction looks free. Your mind becomes more sound. You stop being haunted and taunted. The reason that you were haunted by sexual thoughts and things and, you know, just crazy-ass desires to act out is because you are running. Stop running. Face yourself. What are you afraid of? Ask yourself that question. Usually I will hear things like, I'm afraid of being rejected. I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid of sitting still with myself because I will have to, you know, when I sit still, I'm reminded of trauma from the past. The reason that addictions of a sexual nature are difficult to treat is because people try to act like it's one size fits all, and they try to act like that one size fits all method is just don't watch porn, count the days, you know, don't jerk off. It's about telling people what not to do. So when you tell people what not to do, what are they going to obsess over? Oh, I can't jerk off. I can't think about this. I can't watch porn. I can't fantasize. And what they end up doing is building that they end up feeding that sexual energy inside of them. How many times have you, as an addict, tried to white knuckle it, tried to just ignore it, tried to go for a run or pray it away or, you know, read Bible scriptures or fast and pray? How many times have you tried to do those things expecting that it was just going to lift and go away and be gone? Some people do experience, you know, these kinds of miracles, but those people who experience those things, they're not listening to me. So I'm talking to the average person. The average person, when is the last time that you were able to ignore something that you were addicted to sexually? And it just goes away. It doesn't do that. It doesn't leave you. You're thinking about it, even if you're not acting out on it. And when you do act out, you end up acting out worse than you ever did before. Much worse than you ever, ever did before. And that is dangerous. All right, guys, so I am down to the end here. Let's get some music going. Let me see. There we go. So for those of you who would like to know more about me and what it is that I do, you can visit my website at alisacoaches.com. That's A-L-I-S-A coaches, C-O-A-C-H-E-S.com. I do have a special that you can take advantage of. It's $25 for your first. Music is a little loud. It's $25 for your first time contacting me. That $25 covers your first hour. So if you're interested in speaking for a full hour and really laying a foundation for treatment, then give me or contact me. I have a messaging system through my website. You can, it's a green button on the right-hand side. Just leave me a message. It will allow you to leave me a voicemail message as well as list your email address. And you can include your contact details in there and I'll reach out to you. Also on my website, there's a little link that will let you know when I'm active, when I'm online and taking calls. So you can interact with me in that way as well. All right, guys, that's it for today. Wow, that was loud. That is it for today. I wish you all the best on your journey, and I will see you next time. Take care.